Well, good afternoon. This is
Rob. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Say that again?
How are you? How is everyone?
We're fine. There are two of us here. The others are coming in. And, while we're waiting on everybody, I'll just kind of give you an update on the later. And that is that Keisha is going to be leaving us at the end of May. And so we are not replacing her, at this point. The only thing that we might do is to, have someone who can handle the schedule and do it on a part-time basis. So those are our thoughts. We welcome any input that you might have during that. Her biggest role, as you recall, would be to, she handled the schedule. She, set up the workshops, the seminars, the dinners, all of that. That's what she did. And so we've got to, and one of the things that Morgan Stanley has done is has added the marketing position to with Jerry's position, actually, where she handles digital marketing and that sort of thing. So that's one of the one of her jobs. So that's kind of where we are. So that's just hitting the ground running. That's the latest that we're dealing with now.
So who's going to do the scheduling then?
And that's the thing. I was thinking about, I don't know if Tina can do the scheduling with everything she has going on. I don't know if that would be something that she can do. So I'm looking at and considering a part-time person to come in, work 15 hours or so for scheduling, 16, 20 hours a week for scheduling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, again, I welcome any input that you might have or any insights that you might be able to give us on that.
So what is Tina doing now?
Tina's doing, for the most part, the majority of her time is spent on admin.
Okay. So operations, right?
That's right.
Okay. How many clients do you have now?
Our client count is today before the call because we've actually done pretty well, believe it or not, since the last time reassigning more people or at least having the conversations to prepare them for reassignment. I feel like right at this point we're below 230. So I have, there's still some more that are like discounted right now because they're on the way up. We just have to get them going.
Does that include like the simple plans and all those?
That would include the simple plans.
Yeah, because Rob, we've got, I don't know how many people we have on simple plans if we don't even do anything.
Okay, so probably 20-ish then. I mean, it's just, even though like on the, see on, if I pull it up in the system, it says 243, which is not right, because we have way less than that.
Yeah.
There's a lot of, I also started to group households that I would see real quickly, I'm going to say we'll see 220, 230
Okay. 220, 230.
Do you have two people making phone calls?
To do meetings?
12-4-2s?
Basically, it's me and Gerald, Pioneer, and then sometimes Gary will do them too for plans.
Okay.
So it's 2.5, kind of, right now.
And next year, I think Gary comes off next year, so then she'll be the third deal.
Okay.
We're trying to get our clients below 200, though. That's still the goal. I know we can do it. It's just, I was looking at it again today, and I was like, okay, how can we make this move faster? So yeah, we are still going to get below that 200 mark.
Well, if you couldn't bring on a part-time person, who would do the call? Who would do the scheduling with the team you have?
The part-time person.
Oh,
if we couldn't, then it would probably be Tina.
I mean, if you get the book down to a reasonable number of clients, your operational problems should be minimized, and therefore that should be a job that one person can handle.
Now, when you say to a reasonable number, is that still 100 for FA or below that, do you think?
Well, ideally below that, but 100 per FA. I've had assistants handle as many as... I'm sorry. There's some crunching going on. I've had as many as 5 financial advisors with one person doing Supernova. Okay, so, I mean, that's pretty hard, but they did it and managed it pretty well, each of them having 100 clients. So having 2 people with 100 each is pretty reasonable, even doing operations.
Okay, I think
if it were my team, I would try and do it before I bring on a part-time person. Just because I think it's, you know, everybody should know how everybody works, and having Tina understand how the scheduler works and how the schedule is done and calling people, I mean, if it's not a suitable situation, then it's your call, but you're asking my opinion.
Okay.
I think you can do it. I think you can operate very nicely without another part-time person.
Okay.
Assuming Tina can do it all, you know.
What are your thoughts?
Oh, do you want me to express my thoughts?
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, Ron. This is Tina, right? Rob. Rob?
Yeah.
This is Tina, right? I don't think we've ever spoke. I've been in the meetings. So my experience, I've got a lot of experience in juggling a lot of balls. I've been with Morgan Stanley for 31 years, did the administrative assistant job for the complex. That was my initial knee-jerk reaction was when I found out that this was going to happen, was to let's try this first, you know, and then let's see what we can handle. My other responsibilities in the office, I'm the office mom, have been for years. So I know that Gerald has a lot of, whoa. I think
it's... Rob, you still there?
Still here, yep.
Okay, so I know that the complex has invested in this team. I'm invested in this team. So Carol and I had a conversation this morning. I feel like if I could be relieved of some of the duties that distract me, that I think that this is a possibility of being a doable thing, especially in the light of scaling down the client book.
Right.
So I'm on the page with the team. I'm on the page with you as far as your suggestion is trying it first. Speaking with the manager about possibly redelegating a few things that I handle for the branch and another a newbie in the system. Like I said, kind of being the office mom. I feel like if I don't have those distractions, we can try it with the support of the branch manager and the complex and see how things go.
Yeah, I think that makes sense, you know, and test the system and see, you know, that makes a lot of sense, you know, rather than, and then, you know, depending on I guess Jerry's going to end up being a full-time financial advisor, right?
Mm-hmm. That's okay. Right here, right? That's up 1 year.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm.
So that would, you know, at that point, maybe you bring on another person, but until then, I try and do this because, you know, it's just efficiencies, right? Just we called it operation delegation or operation push down. The idea is that everybody, you know, figures out what is their critical roles and responsibilities, what do they have to do every day,
mm-hmm.
and then what other things are they doing that somebody else could do, and get rid of those things, and what are the things we absolutely don't have to do. No, it's the newsletter or something that we don't have to do, but we're doing anyway. And when clients love it, great. But if they don't notice it when we stop doing it, then we know that this isn't something that they need, right? So every once in a while, we kind of go back to zero budget and say, okay, let's look and see what absolutely has to be done, and then what are things that are luxuries that we don't absolutely need. To me, I don't want a part-time person calling my clients and setting up appointments with them. I want that to be a full-time job. I want that to be a relationship manager, somebody that knows my clients, knows them intimately, and can kind of smell when there's an issue, and head off things, and you know, it's a really important relationship job.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd rather have the part-time person taking care of the new person in the office or whatever else those other jobs are, rather than doing this critical job.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Good deal.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I want consistency with the client relationship.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So then with things like newsletters, et cetera, is that something that you would pay an intern to do?
Yeah, oh, sure, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Probably as well as anybody, right? They're smart, they're young, and, you know, especially if they're, you know, in school or something, and they... You know, you can get the smartest kid in the economics class or journalism class or whatever you need. You can get them, and they're pretty good, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Sounds good.
Right. I mean, just think about the prestige of working for you and your firm on their resume. That's a big deal. You know,
mm-hmm.
to me, I would always have an intern. You don't have to pay them a lot. They appreciate it. You're giving them a start in the business. You're educating them.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're doing a great thing for the community. At the same time, they're getting a huge benefit for it. So both of you are serving each other.
Mm-hmm.
And who knows? They may end up working for you full time if they're really top notch.
Okay. That works. That works.
Yeah.
Okay.
So bring me up to date on, you were making huge progress on, you know, the folders and organizing, and you're having great success, or at least you're finding more money, and last call was, you know, really a good call in terms of Supernova.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So really since the last call, we've done, I'd say very, very high percentage of folders are pretty much done, or at least have been given to the client. We've noticed just generally, I think the majority of the clients think the folders are kind of cool and interesting. They're beginning to get why they have them now. A client I spoke with the other day on the phone, she was just like very happy that we're doing these monthly calls. She said, you know, even if we don't have anything to talk about, I just like the idea that we have a set time that we check in with each other monthly. And for them, it's like some clients, we find that they don't want them for one reason or the other because they feel like it's not necessary, but they appreciate the fact that we're trying to just make sure we have that constant communication with them. So it's been really good, and we really do find a lot of solutions for the clients. Like, there's some situations where I feel like if we didn't have these monthly calls, we wouldn't really catch the client at the right time when they need, they're in need of something that we could help them with. Or in certain situations where the client may, I mean, just will randomly bring up, oh, I have this money or I have this, that thing available and I would like to invest it with you guys so we can continue to follow up with them every month and talk to them. And I would also say that with Jerry running these plans, that's been really great because it really opens our eyes to what the clients have. And we're able to kind of uncover additional assets or even uncover just additional needs that we didn't know in previous calls.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
It's been really good.
Yeah. And we're still bringing in money. It slowed down a little bit. But we still have, and we're still building relationships too. I know, for example, last night I spent, I don't know, an hour on the phone with the CPA and the client. And the good thing is that the client said he had a $50,000 tax bill. And he said, I'm not going to pay this until I talk to Gerald.
Good.
Which is what we want all of our clients to do. Mm-hmm. Which leads me to one other thing that that I need some help with. And that is in the folders with the people that are enthusiastically endorsed. We are getting those back, and I just want clarity so that we're all on the same page of how do we get those back? Do we fill them in? Do we ask for them each month? I mean, what do we do with that?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it's one of those deals. It's lovely to get them back, but you can't expect them to send them back. They're not going to do that.
Okay.
So my suggestion is every month you make it, you know, this month is CPA month.
Mm-hmm.
Next month is estate planning attorney month. You know, the next month is fam, whatever. You know, you can ask them about their, other attorneys or the realtor or, you know, just something else that you're interested in knowing about them, their insurance agent, right? I mean, other people that you need to know about, you can just keep asking that question, but just make it every month.
Mm-hmm.
Just do one a month, and you're going to get 12 over the year, and so you're asking them simply the simple question. Can you enthusiast, who's your CPA? You know?
Okay.
And then can you enthusiastically endorse him or not? All right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's positive, mm-hmm. negative, or neutral.
Okay.
When they're enthusiastically endorsed, they go on one list.
Mm-hmm.
When they hate him, it goes on another list, right?
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. one you're going to refer to and one the other one you're going to refer from. So, you know, one you go meet to make sure that you like them and trust them and they'd be a good person to refer to.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one you send somebody that is enthusiastically endorsed as a substitute to the client.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Good deal. I needed to hear that.
Yeah, that's good. I didn't really know either.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay, that's good.
I guess the same with another question, the same with the referral sheet.
No.
Yeah, okay. No. So we would just ask them every call or meeting, but who they would basically the script that I think you've given us before. Is there somebody that you care about that? Wasn't it something about
mm-hmm.
who do you care about that you believe we could help
mm-hmm.
work?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the idea is to celebrate the people that you've referred to them. And, you know, who knows, maybe you've referred a CPA to them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because they needed a CPA, so that goes on the list. Or you've referred a doctor to them, that goes on the list. And
right,
they've referred... Yeah, and then when they refer a client to you, that goes on the list.
Oh, so if you refer a CPA or a state planning attorney, you write that on their list?
That's right. You keep a record of that. Yes. And so when you can have an annual conversation that can go right on your agenda to discuss introductions, you know, and give them a heads up on and get in, you know, how did it work out with your CPA? How did it work out? How did it work out with the cardiologist I sent to you?
Totally doing it wrong.
And then you tell them, you know, you sent two clients to us, and they're doing great. Thank you very much. You know, you can't tell them how they're doing, except that they're doing great, you know. And you thank them again for the introduction.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens is we forget who sends us clients. And this list prevents us from forgetting that, and we celebrate it. So once a year, you remind them that they sent you two great introductions and thank them, and then they'll send you another one.
I was just thinking, we ought to thank them, the ones who referred them to, thank them for coming in, for using us. I was just thinking that we don't even know who are we getting referrals from? Chris. Yes, Chris. Okay. But we haven't called them yet, have we?
He's on the list, but I didn't hear him call because I didn't ask her. It was immediately after me before that.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so now, do we celebrate those people that refer in as business and we actually work with the people? Ambassador?
Yeah, and it's not going to be anybody that you don't, where it doesn't work out. Only people go on that list that are, end up being good clients, you know, that are clients. You don't want to put a name down that didn't turn out to be a client.
But we still encourage the people that give us referrals, even if they don't work out.
Yeah, but that's a training issue. Right?
Right. No, I was thinking about, we had a few of the right type of clients.
Oh, but it didn't work out.
But they didn't, yeah.
If they don't work out for any reason, it's an issue. Right? It's a training issue. They didn't have the net worth. They didn't have the personality. They weren't a good fit. It was something that kept them from becoming a client. Therefore, we need to help the client to understand who is a good fit.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
So that's really a training issue. Think of them as a salesman for you. The client, right? The client is working for you now in this situation,
mm-hmm.
and is a salesman for you.
Mm-hmm.
And they bring you a prospect, and the prospect says no, okay?
Okay.
Either they didn't have, or we say no. One of us says no, and it doesn't work out. We go back to our salesman and explain what went wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and just encourage them to continue to bring us introductions, but to refine their process.
Mm-hmm.
meaning, you know, it's not going to work because they don't have our minimum.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It's not going to work if they're a jerk. Right?
Right.
Right.
Okay? I mean, and just be honest with them. I mean, you know, look, we really appreciate it. We're going to refer people to you that we think are a terrific fit. We're never going to send a CPA attorney or, you know, somebody to cut your grass that isn't vetted and is a terrific person. Because
mm-hmm.
we know, we value you so much.
Mm-hmm.
And we appreciate that you've done the same thing for us.
Mm-hmm.
So they need to be a person that you know will really get along with us, that's a good person, mm-hmm. that has the financial wherewithal, meaning they have the problems that a person with the capital has,
mm-hmm.
and that we can really help them.
Mm-hmm.
They value what we do. You know, they value what we do. We like them, trust them. When you build this network, this mm-hmm. mastermind group, whatever you want to call it, of your trusted advisors, you would never send an introduction into that group mm-hmm. that didn't meet your minimums in terms of being a good person, a trustworthy person.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's the key, is that everyone that gets inside our group is a trusted person and a good person.
Mm-hmm.
So, my neighbor across the street, I would never refer my neighbor back in Indiana to anybody that did work for us. So, my builder, my roofer, my lawn person, my financial advisor, no one would ever get to meet this person across the street.
You live next to your aunt's home?
Right. Because exactly, they're a jerk. Okay?
Exactly. I didn't resist.
What? Oh, mm-hmm. Hey, I'm with you.
Yeah. That was a jerk.
He's a jerk. He's a jerk. He's a pain. You know, who wants to do business with him? He complains about everything. He has to do everything has to be perfect for him, right? Yeah. Well, we don't, no. So we don't, you know, they always curious about, you know, who did you buy your car from? You know, who does your lawn? And we're like, you know, he's not taking any new clients. He's not taking any new clients. Don't bother asking him. And we tell him. Don't go across the street. Don't. Did they ask you? Because they're mean people. They don't pay their bills. They you know, they complain about everything. They skimp, they always want the deal of the lifetime, and,
mm-hmm.
just, and they're not nice to people. No, we like them. Right. So you cannot let somebody like that inside your group.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody pulls that on the group,
mm-hmm.
that person is fired from the group.
True.
We fired a few people.
Yeah, we sure have.
Mm-hmm.
We sure have, and it's been a lighter process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Fired, but we fired.
Yeah, you got rid of your lottery winner, right?
Yeah, we sure did. You don't miss him at all.
Mm-hmm.
I saw him the other day. We were cordial and nice. I feel like I was happier to see him because I
So that's why I said, glad I haven't seen you lately. I mean, I'm glad to see you.
Right, well, that's funny.
Yeah.
So Rob, we have, I have a question for you.
Sure, fine. Okay.
Alright, so remember the client, the father, just the son that's in the NFL and has multiple children in professional sports?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
So, we had our monthly call with him a few weeks ago. And before the call, you know, we were kind of talking about, like, how can we make sure we get in front of his daughter and his son and et cetera, and continue building that relationship. Because previously, he said, you know, he had given his son our information, and he was, like, excited for us to meet with his daughter, and, like, it just seemed like everything was great. So on this call, he just was, like, a little different. Like, he was colder than normal. When we spoke to him and he asked him how he was doing, he was like, yeah, I'm pretty good, you know, and it was just sort of like, kind of, you there?
Yeah.
Okay.
What is your question?
So the question what do we need to do to go forward? So I'll try to give you the background before I ask the question, basically. So basically, yeah, it was a little cold. We didn't know how to continue approaching, you know, the question about the child, like his daughter or his son, like how do we continue to nurture that relationship to get in front of them?
Because he's a client, because he's a center of influence. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he really doesn't have the assets.
Yeah.
But he has,
Has he really introduced you to people of means?
I mean,
not really, not yet. I mean, his son has the means.
His daughter will.
His daughter will have the means.
Also, I want to say...
His son seems to be a jerk.
What I want to say also to Rob, because he told me a while back that he got caught up in a pyramid scheme, that the guys actually went to prison. So it could be that his son may not trust his judge of character, too.
Sure. I mean, there's... Right. I mean, look, that's why we're in business, right? To protect these people from Ponzi schemes. From Bernie Madoff.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why we have to be fanatics about getting these people into a safe place.
Mm-hmm.
Because people like this client are going to screw up when they're in charge. They shouldn't be in charge.
Mm-hmm.
So what I would suggest, you have an honest conversation with him. Honesty is often the best policy. And say, look, you know, we were under the impression that you were going to refer us to your son and your daughter.
Mm.
You know, what has changed? And just shut up. Listen.
Mm. Okay.
It was a direct.
Yeah, I agree.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and in fact, if it isn't going to work out with the son and the daughter, I would fire the dad.
Yeah, for real. I agree. Yeah. No, that is you.
No.
That sounds cold, but he doesn't meet your minimum. He's not going to be a center of influence. He's not going to refer the kids to you. So I'm sorry. You know, we're not going to be of any help to you.
How much time do you give him?
How much time would I give him? I'd give him that conversation. I'd give him up to that conversation.
Okay.
Wow.
Okay.
All right.
Keep saying that my son does his own thing. My son is this, you know. I think your son is kind of hard to deal with, quite frankly.
Yeah, then work on forget the son, work on the daughter. If you can't get the daughter, then forget about it and say, you know, this doesn't look, you know, it's been fun, but it doesn't look like it's going to work out. We'll, you know, why don't you, you know, find a different advisor and tell us where we want to send your stuff.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, sounds good. Where do we want to send his stuff?
I mean, he was dancing a carrot in front of your nose for a long time here. And that's his only power, his only ability. He can't deliver. Forget about him. Right? I mean, come on. Either do it. Don't dance. We're not dancing. Here. We're not going to dance for you. You know, either we're going to do some business because we have value or we're not.
Yeah, Rob, we're talking, and he's not that kind of guy that would just intentionally just dangle a carrot just to get us. But he's not that guy that's going to go and be direct with his children.
Yeah.
He's not that guy. He's not going to say, you need to talk to an ex-wife, you need to talk to a family. He's not going to be that. Not with his son. I know he won't be that way with his son.
His daughter, he was so, like, the reason is because his daughter, he was like, I need you guys to work with my daughter. My son can do what he wants, but I want you guys to work with my daughter. And now it was just kind of like, there was just a last conversation. It just, everything seemed like it changed. So I don't, not that he didn't say he didn't want us to work with his daughter, but he was like, well, yeah, we'll see. I'll see what she decides. And it was just very weird.
All right, so you guys know how to control the situation, right? We talked about how do you get a keep control of an introduction,
mm-hmm.
Right? So what you've got is a situation where he's totally in control, and you're dangling. You may not say he's dangling you, but you're dangling, okay? And in the reality, he may not intentionally do it, and maybe because he can't do it, right? Mm-hmm. So here's what you do. It's very simple and straightforward. You ask him, you know, he says, oh yeah, I want you to meet my daughter. Okay. Well, clearly you're in a much better situation than we are. How would you suggest that we meet?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And you say, well, I don't know, and I don't know if it's a good time, and I don't know, and I don't know. So what you're saying is you don't really have a solution to how we should meet. Right? I mean, you can make suggestions, say, why don't we have dinner? Why don't we have lunch? Why don't we have breakfast? Why don't we meet for coffee? Why don't we, you know, why don't we meet on the phone?
We were going to go to a meet. And we were going to be there.
Yeah, why don't we have a comment? Why don't we have an appointment on the phone? You know,
mm-hmm.
If he can't do that, then that's not an introduction. See, that's he's blowing smoke.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Okay.
So if I said to you, I've got a guy I want you to meet, and you said, how would you suggest that we meet? I'd say, well, I don't know, and you'd say, well, when do you see him? Well, I see him at the track meet. Okay? How about if we meet you there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? When's the next one?
Mm-hmm.
June 6th, you know, May 21st, okay? May 21st it is. What time? Where?
Mm-hmm.
And tighten it up. And just follow it up and tighten it up and tighten it up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And then you just say, okay, so that's great. So we're going to meet June 1st at the track meet. All right, good. And, okay, so today is, Wednesday, the blah, blah. And, why don't I give you some time to talk to your daughter, and then I'll send you an email. If I haven't heard from you in, say, 2 weeks, I'll call you back or send you another email to follow up. How's that sound? Great. Okay. Good. But you're always in control. See? You're the one following up. You're the one in control. He's doing the work, but you're following up.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not doing that, you are not in a position to control the outcome.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
This is really important. People waste enormous amounts of time and put an excess burden on their clients to do something they're not used to doing. You guys are good at this. You can teach them how to do it, and you're the ones that need to push them to make it easy on them to follow up. Okay? Don't think of it as being pushy. Think of it as you doing your job.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
Okay.
I agree. And the big thing is that if we don't help her, then somebody who doesn't have integrity might get a hold of her.
Mm-hmm. Not might, will.
Uh-huh. Okay. All right.
You said try what?
You said not might, will.
Oh, right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That might not have integrity. There's somebody that will not have integrity will get her.
Okay.
If we don't get her. So. Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, that's always the thing. You know, these stories are all, you know, it's not a question of who's going to, you know, when somebody's, you know, it's a question of when somebody's going to take advantage of them, not if.
Mm-hmm.
It's epidemic among professional athletes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It sure is. It sure is. Okay.
So you do a fill or kill, and you say, look, we work with professional athletes and all kinds of other people, and frankly, trust is the most important thing we have. We're consistent. You know us. You know where we are. We're always here. You have the firm to back you up. If there's anything that happens, you can always sue our firm.
Mm-hmm.
You can sue us. We're not a fly-by-night organization.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's a starting point, right?
Mm-hmm.
These people who keep business with people like, you know, I would say, be careful when you do business with an independent. Who the heck knows? You know, who are you going to sue?
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
If they run off with your money, who are you going to sue? You don't have Morgan Stanley. You don't have Merrill Lynch. You don't have Wells Fargo. You get your money back with those firms. Never do business with an independent. I tell you. I would never.
Yeah.
Personally, I would never.
Yeah. I've had that conversation before.
Right.
Yeah, I've seen people that have lost tons of money dealing with independent people.
Right, and you know that if they ever get business with Wells Fargo, or you, or Merrill Lynch, or anybody, that you guys screwed up, you'd be fired, and they get their money back. Okay?
That's right. Yeah. Independent guys might go to jail, but you won't get your money back.
Bernie Madoff isn't making many payments, he says.
Oh, he's not, man. He won't. That's right. That's right.
Yeah. So give it a shot, but don't waste your time.
Okay. Good enough. So, and we'll let you know about, you know, how we fill in how Tina carries on with Keisha's work and how that load works. And sort of dig into the mom thing, because you said they're like four dads. I'm the office mom. Have you ever heard this term before, office mom?
Yeah, it's usually the person somebody's taking advantage of.
Boy, that was brutal. Wow.
Sorry.
Okay.
I have to agree with him.
What does that mean?
That means that they're not paying you for doing a lot of extra work.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've been doing that for years.
Okay. 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 Well, we're going to have to, okay, we're going to talk a little bit more about that. We're going to talk a little bit more about that. And, you know, one of the things, and I'll just close that door for a minute, please. One of the things that, you know, Tina was mentioning, and, you know, we're going to talk a little bit after this, too, but she has a lot, even though she's been severed from some of the responsibilities, she still has it. For example, I'll give you a classic example. How many lives do you have on your phone?
I have 15. I have the Peyton group.
Mm-hmm.
I have Laura and Roger
mm-hmm.
and Will.
That's five different groups. Five different groups. And so what, yeah, that's way too much. So what has happened is that, you know, it could be overwhelming figuring out which phone to answer and how to do it.
And you can witness that.
I've witnessed it. Yeah.
Well, I mean, they're not doing Supernova. They're keeping every small client. Everybody that calls in, you're taking care of them.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I don't know how much you're being paid by the office, how much you're being paid by the team, and how much,
yeah,
you know, what the allocation of sales assistance is and all that stuff. But you guys have to have a little, you know, a little bit of a heart-to-heart with yourselves and say, you know, does it make sense for you to work full-time for us? And if you do, can we raise our productivity in order to make it work for us?
And
would that grow our team? You know, would that provide what we need to really ramp this thing up and grow?
Yeah. Tina is ours, and that's our project. And Tina's supposed to be on this team and this team only. And it seems as if she's covering for others whose assistants probably aren't covering, I guess. And maybe they, I don't know. But, you know, that's the conversation I think we need to have with management to see, you know, to get some of that done. Because you know, what ends up happening and what happened yesterday, not with me, but with somebody else, you know, if a call could come in and then it goes to voicemail, which is not what we do, you know, we never have phone calls go to voicemail. It just never does. But when you got five phone lines ringing, it can be confusing. And if you step away and nobody's picking up, then that, you know, so, okay. All right. Well, yeah, I think you've answered that.
Yeah, to me, you guys have got a great opportunity for increase in productivity.
I agree.
If you want to handle one other phone line, that's great. But that'd be it. Okay.
Yeah, I would go with that. Okay. All right. Rob, what other wisdom do you want to impart on us?
Well, you know, you can't blame management because they're gonna take advantage of you as long as you are tolerated.
Let them.
Yep. That's right.
You know, it's not their fault. It's your
fault.
You gotta, you know, part of our ability in life is to say no. Stand up for ourselves. And you gotta do that.
That's right.
So if she's supposed to be working for you, she's supposed to be working for you. You're not a charitable organization there. I mean, this is a team.
Second time we've heard that today.
Sure. Yeah.
Once out of my mouth, once out of yours.
So yeah, I think this has been a good call for that reason, if nothing else. I think it's worth it. A lot of money there.
All right.
So, checking roles and responsibilities. You know, we have a new book out on teams. It's Supernova Teams, so you might want to grab it on Amazon right now and read it and talk about how do you leverage the team. It's probably a worthwhile read, I would gather. And then we're going to have one coming out on leveraging, you know, through marketing, Supernova Multiplier, that'll probably come out in the summer, I hope. So we've been pretty prolific here.
Supernova Multiplier?
Yeah, how do you multiply and leverage your great service experience into a marketing experience, into growing your business? How do you multiply the client experience and get them to give you introductions and leverage your relationship. So the multiplier is when you're doing 12-14 with somebody and they send you more money, that's a multiplier effect, right? You're investing in yourself and the client experience, but you're getting leverage on that, and that's a multiplier. So you want, and when they introduce you to somebody new who has $5 million, that multiplies your effort. So your service model is paying off then. But if you just service your client and you don't grow, you're not taking advantage of your brand and the value of your brand to find and help other people, see?
Right. Yeah. Well, let me ask you something. Have you experienced a team like us that just blew up and grew? Who do we remind you of that's successful? That started off like us, that is now successful?
Well, frankly, you guys are pretty unique. I love talking to you. You have a great sense of humor. You're a fun team. You're very easy to get along with. And I think you serve a unique market too. So I'm not sure I have anybody like you. I think you're pretty special. So I think, I don't think that you are, we've helped you to keep that specialness and that love of each other and love of the client, but made you become a little tougher. And I think that you need to keep getting tougher in terms of what you can expect, what you should expect from everybody, those around you, management and other people, as well as your clients and your centers of influence, and be nice, but, just expect them. Like this guy, this guy treated you, he may say he didn't treat you well. I mean, didn't treat you poorly, but he did. And he promised you 2 children, and he's giving you nothing, and he hasn't been nice to you about it. So I think you guys have got to get more demanding and shorten the time frame on things. Okay. Don't go on forever. Let these people push you around.
Okay.
Okay. I just think you have to, that brand is worth a lot. What you're doing for clients is very unique, and you should be expecting that great treatment in return from everybody, okay, including your management group.
Gotcha. Okay. All right.
There's nobody quite like you guys. And I think, the more we get to know each other, I think when you get a little tougher, the more value I can be. Because we'll have less of these sort of situations and more real situations, where the guy is, this is a sort of situation. Okay. He's sort of referring you to his children. I'd rather have you have real situations where you're working with an agent that's truly giving you introductions because he knows how good you are.
Okay. All right. Are you going to be in position to help us so that we can articulate that to agents, to whoever? Because the biggest thing that we've had to do, which has been painstaking, but we've made a lot of progress, and that is reducing the book in preparation for the branding, because I don't think we've really branded the way that we could. I just think we just haven't. I also believe that, we've got to tighten up, and you're right, we do have to get tougher, tighten up, everybody, all of us need to just tighten up. Are you going to be able to, I guess, would you be able to help us with that?
Yeah, I can. I think there's a lot that the firm can provide you with, and they should. Okay, in terms of your website, in terms of LinkedIn, you might want to hire a local marketing advertising firm to do a brochure for you, take pictures, take professional pictures. I think it's a good investment. I certainly can review it and tell you whether it's good or not. And I can tell you whether your website is really you know, strikingly good or it's just average. But I think there's some places that you can go to that do this professionally and, you know, that you should do that. You should do that.
Mm-hmm.
Look, you guys are unique. I think you're very special. And I think you're not treating yourselves that way as much as you should.
Right.
And I think so there's a huge opportunity to brand yourself right now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I mean, how many teams are like your team? Out there. In the market?
I don't know of any like that.
Yeah. We were just talking about this earlier.
I don't know who's like that.
I've never seen a team like you guys, okay? And I think the market is screaming for you guys. But you gotta, you know, you gotta step up.
Mm-hmm.
A little more Madison Ave, a little less down home.
All right.
You say a little more about Madison Ave than what?
Yeah, less down home.
Less down home.
I agree.
Hmm.
I agree.
That's true. That's a good one.
I agree with that 100%. I think we have glimpses of Madison. Glimpses. But we haven't gone all in.
We have Madison Ave, but we're probably not showing it to the Madison Ave, all the Madison Ave clients or prospective clients.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? We're showing it to like
yeah. Okay, guys, keep cleaning up the book. Organize yourself, tighten that up.
All right.
Be more demanding. I think you can have a good month, and then let's talk. Let's talk seriously about getting to the next level. Okay?
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Oh, all right. You're welcome. You guys are the best. All right.
Bye-bye.